Most of us, from the day we are born to the instant that we die, will experience a constant acceleration of roughly 9.8 plus or minus a little percentage directed towards the centre of the Earth. Some of us may be lucky enough, a lucky few may go into deep space, because even astronauts in the space station experience a gravitational field just about this. And it's so pervasive, it's rather hard to actually teach it because it's everywhere. You grow up learning it and you have to actually pick out your everyday experiences to actually experience it. Now, you may say, look, in a vomit comet or other places, I don't experience the field. Yes, you do experience the field. If you're not being squished by the Earth pushing you up, you're beginning to fall at 9.8 meters per second per second. That's the gravitational field. And now, in Peter Hill Explains, we're going to explore how best to unpick this. Now, acceleration means the rate at which you increase velocity. And velocity means the rate at which you travel through a distance. So acceleration means that you will progressively, as time goes past, travel a greater and greater distance. That's the basics of it. And there's a lot of things to actually teach what acceleration is. And what we're saying is that in the laboratory of the Earth, for the majority of us, wherever we go, varying only by a couple of percent, not absolutely constant, but varying a tiny little bit, we'll experience this acceleration of 9.8 meters per second per second. And what it means is that if I drop things from varying heights, if I double the height, it'll be less time to fall. It won't be double the time to fall down because that last section, the additional section, is already travelling faster and it'll go even faster still as it touches the ground. So when you first let go, the instant that you let a weight go, it will be travelling at 0 meters per second downwards, minus 0 meters per second downwards. After 1 second, it will be travelling at 9.8 meters per second. After 2 seconds, it will be travelling at 19.6 meters per second downwards. It will increase in speed at 9.8 meters per second as we come through. Now, as we go down, we know that if something is thrown from very high up, or if it's a little feather, for instance, it will fall down and reach terminal velocity. There's several forces acting on it, but the force of gravity is still always 9.8 meters per second acceleration, or 9.8 newtons per kilogram, pulling a force down, a kilogram weight. Important to get. So by a formula, we've got the velocity Vf equals Vi, which is zero, minus Gt. We're having defining upwards as a positive axis, so it's negative acceleration with respect to upwards being positive, and therefore negative velocity. 9.8 times the time every second. Now, not going into it, the area under your velocity versus time graph will give you the distance travelled. And the distance travelled will be the height, initial height, minus a half GT squared. So in 2 seconds, a half GT squared is 2 times G, a half times 4 squared, 4, which is 2, 2G is 19.6 meters. So if you drop something 19.6 meters, it will take 2 seconds to drop that distance. How far does something drop in 1 second? Well, it will drop a half times 9.8 times T squared, which is 1, so it's a half of 9.8, which is 4.9 meters. 4.9 meters is pretty much from the top of a one-story building down, if you're lucky. So to measure this gravitational field, one of the things you can do is drop a weight down. And dropping a weight down is an excellent activity. Now, what I'm going to do is describe the final version of the experiment, which is sort of the ultimate experiment, to measure this. And then we can work back, simplifying it, such that the students explore the individual components and assemble them a bit later on. So to do this, the thing to drop down is the humble M10 nut, M8 nut. And there's obviously some laughing about dropping nuts over a distance. Now, we'll explain it completely, the final experiment, rather than keeping your concentration over a long time. And then we'll deconstruct it to simpler experiments leading up to it. So the individual nuts, the way this operates is that you have 10 or 20 nuts, and when a nut reaches a distance at the end of its string, it pulls the next nutter off. So you tap one nutter off, and as it falls, which is the end of it falls, it pulls off the next nut, and that falls and pulls off the next nut. It will take, say, if you're dropping a full, say, 5 meters, it will take 20 seconds for all, you're dropping 20 nuts, it'll take 20 seconds for this to happen. This is quite a long time for the knowledge to accumulate, and it's quite a spectacular thing. Now, let's go from the procedures. One of the things is dropping the nut, the nut has to be held by a string. And just to make things, the string, easy to understand, the strings are cut in 1 meter lengths with a loop at one end, a tied loop at one end, and a small button at the other end. So you can construct 1 meter, 2 meters, 3 meters by these lengths of strings, for which you push the string through the button through the loop at the other end. There's some sort of variations for it. So this allows you to store reusable strings and them to be of a fixed, easy to understand distance. It removes some of the activities, but we're not going to remove them right away because that will make it too easy for the students. But remember, we're discussing the end component here. So take five meters. So you have a nut on a ledge. 5 meters up, it's dropping off, say, a balcony or some such thing, and it drops off the balcony. There's 5 meters, and at the end of the 5 meters, it pulls pulls off the wall a tiny. I have to describe it as a wire. I should really photograph and give the diagram for it. It's got a wire with a little upward little bent section on it, which hooks underneath the thread of the nut. So it's stabilized, and the string is attached to this little wire hook, which has got a weight on it. And what happens is that when it reaches the end of its tether, the nut will pull the string, pull the hook, and release the next nut along. And I suppose I can describe it, but I think describing it more will actually complicate the procedure to build it up. So the idea is that when the first nut falls, when it reaches the end, it pulls the hook, which releases the next nut along. So the major thing is that the string doesn't yank the next nut down, it just pulls the hook at such an angle that the nut falls off the hook, and this proceeds to pull the next nut down, and the next, and the next, and the next. Now, 20 times 5 metres is 100 metres, so that's 100 pieces of string with buttons on it to pick up, and of course one can remove the number of strings to 4, 3, or extended to, if you're very lucky, 10 metres or something like that, or 19.6 if you want to be there for a long time. Now, the process here is that you can time the first one and say time for 10 nuts or 5 nuts, 10 knots, 20 knots, and get a relative increase of time. And for different distances to actually see if there's a lag in time between dropping it down. Now, if the release mechanism does throw the nut down, that throwing the nut down in a consistent way will be equivalent to a small distance in the direction or the amount that you measure. So the idea of this is by conducting effectively the experiments 20 times in a row and having it mechanized, you can do the averaging of those 20 seconds as it's going along, and your brain can actually start to get in tune to when the nuts hit the final distance when it comes down. So you'll have 20 divided into the total time it takes to move across. Now, this is sort of the ultimate gravity measuring experiment, because you'll get different lengths and different times. It will provide a good analysis. Now, initially, what one can do is provide nuts and string. So there's basically a danger of dropping nuts and losing or dropping any weight. They bounce off and it's hard to receive. What happens if you do drop it by holding a nut onto a string? You can release it and feel the time till you feel the tug on your hand. In fact, generally, it's found that closing your eyes and pressing the stopwatch leads to consistently better results. They may be out, but they're more consistent per individual student. Takes a little bit, and so they're dropping their nuts, and they can vary, dropping one, two, or more nuts over the balcony. So initially, the students should be given nuts and a length of string which they measure, and see what results they can get. Then the introduction of the nut with the fixed length string provides another method to go in there, so should realise that providing the strings of fixed length, which add up, is an efficient way of doing it, just another way of doing it. And then providing multiple results, and then finally showing this cascade of falling nuts. It's actually quite spectacular to watch. I should capture it on YouTube. It's done a time before I had regular access to cameras, but it is actually a spectacular thing. Well worth showing on your school website, making a bit of a fuss of it. And especially if you can get multiple students having basic races of it, so you can see it going down sequentially. There is a risk that you complicate it and students can't see the actual complexity. They see the overall time but can't divide it, and there's all various things. So this is why really it's to start them off actually trying to run the experiment themselves with limited resources, so one nut per person to go and one length of string, and to try and work it out so they problem solve. So the actual solution, it doesn't go into the sort of working memory. They sort of aside, oh, this replaces what I was doing before. But it's a very good experiment, and I thoroughly recommend it, and it should produce a highly accurate version of G. So in general, I don't know how this happens, because you think if they're slower timing, they get a lower G. In general, I always get a G calculated with dropping a weight over a distance. For some reason, takes I get G's of 12 or 15 meters per second downwards. I don't know why that, so I've never quite understood it. But this gives a fairly good version, especially when you get multiple students timing the event, and it's very memorable. I hope that you can do it. I hope that you keep on thinking science, working scientifically and teaching science. Thanks for listening. This is Peter Hill Explains.